today's sermon, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, the last five verses, where we have that Mary has chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. We find that as Jesus went, he entered into a certain village, and he went into a house who likewise was kept by a woman by the name of Martha. Now this village that the Lord Jesus entered into is called Bethany. Now this village Christ entered into many times, many things that he experienced while he was here upon earth took place in this village. And we find that he was in this place in the house of one called Simon the Leper. And while he was there came a woman with an alabaster box of precious ointment, and she poured it over his head. She did this in a token of her love and affection to him, but he likewise said that she did that for his burial. We find that when he went up to Jerusalem, then many people were on the side of the road. They were all crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, unto him that cometh in the name of the Lord." And when he went up into Jerusalem and entered into the temple and cast out those who sold doves and the money changers, he returned back to this particular village, this Bethany. Likewise, we find that he resided there quite often, because in this particular house we have Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, two sisters and a brother living together. He loved all three of them. And it was a token of his love that he came there and visited them. If he has visited your home, if he has come into your heart, it's a token of his love to you likewise. And now, this Bethany means house of song and house of affliction. Truly, those two words are very applicable to this town, for we may believe that it was a house of song, especially after the Lord had come into that town and raised up Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus had been sick, he had been afflicted, and he had died. It was a house of affliction, but it was likewise a house of song for these particular inhabitants in this little town, Bethany. Now, this town, Bethany, was a beautiful spot at the time when Christ was here upon earth. It was 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. It lay at the Mount of Olives. It was up on an elevation. From the elevation, you could see the Dead Sea. You could likewise see the River Jordan. You could also see this particular road that we were talking about last week in our lesson, the road that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It wound itself round about this village. At the present time, this village has only about 20 families inhabited in it, and they live in what they call mud hovels. It's all gone in comparison to the way it was when Christ was upon earth. And now Christ entered into this house, and the house is called Martha's. It appears from the commentary that she was a widow. She probably had been married, her husband had died, and this was her particular house. She was then the housekeeper in this house. And now she received Christ in this house. She bid him welcome. It was a time where it was very dangerous to acknowledge Christ. The Jews and likewise the Levites and the priests were seeking his life. And now to acknowledge Christ was very dangerous, for you would be hated, you would be despised, and probably they would seek your life. But irrespective of the danger, she invited them into her home. She bid him welcome. And now, when he came there, he just didn't come alone. He mostly had his 12 disciples with him. And naturally, it cost her something to prepare a meal for all these that came with him. But she had no objection to this. And now we find likewise that he entered into this house, and as he entered into it, they probably had a chair for him, a guest chair where he sat in. And when he was seated in this chair, this Martha, she had a sister called Mary, who sat at his feet and listened to his words. And we have here then a sister, Mary, a very lively type of the child of God, I would say just born again. Oh, how lively are the newborn souls, especially when they are being bent on the knees of Christ, and he is comforting them and speaking unto them and encouraging them. This Mary, she immediately placed herself at the feet of Jesus when he entered into this house. She sat there as a scholar at the feet of a tutor. She was willing to be taught. She was so absorbed in what he was speaking about that she did not think about anything else. All she wanted to do was to listen to what he had to say. What a blessing, my hearers, that we are so taken up with Christ and his words, that we have no care whatsoever which is going on even in the house or even outside of the house. This was the position that Mary was in, so she sat then at Jesus' feet. It doesn't make where we may be in our hearings. If we may be at the feet of Christ, then we are in a good place. And now while she was sitting there and Christ was speaking, we find this Martha, and she was very busy preparing a meal. Now Martha, she loved the Lord Jesus Christ too, and out of respect to him and out of love to him, she was preparing this meal. She was very busy. She wasn't satisfied just to make something ordinarily, but he was her guest and he had his disciples with him. And of course, she went to a great extent to get all sorts of dishes and all sorts of varieties of food upon the table. Of course, when you attempt to do something like this, it causes much work. And now she was very busy doing this. And as she was going back and forth preparing this meal, she cast a glance at Mary, her sister. And there she was, sitting at the feet of Christ. Take particular notice, Mary was a very lively child of God. Martha, a child of God too, but she was not in a lively frame of soul. She was cumbered with much serving, very busy in the house, but doing everything possible to put a splendid meal on the table. Now, it was not wrong for her to prepare a meal. No. Any woman who has a home and has children, the Bible teaches us that if you have a wife and she is a good woman, then she will be very busy doing that. She'll be preparing meals, and if she has any children, she'll be taking care of the children. These are her household duties. But this woman, Martha, she carried this virtue too far. She went too far in this. Oh, she wanted to put on so much, and by doing this, she thought she would please Christ with that. But she isn't any different, I think, than a lot of women that are listening to me. I think there are a lot of Marthas amongst my hearers that are just like her. I believe, if you will give me ear for a moment, that you all are good housekeepers. And now, if you have any children, especially if you're only, say, 6 months old, not even a year, why, you have your work with such a child. From morning till night, you're busy with that child. And now, if you want to do a lot of other things that are on your mind, you find that sometimes it's too much for you. and you're busy trying to keep the house down, trying to keep the child clean, and trying to get meals on the table. And now suppose now you've got somebody for company. Oh, somebody's going to come. Well, you're going to do just like Martha. You're going to go to the extent of trying to get all kinds of dishes on the table and to try to put on a splendid feed so that the people will appreciate and that they will come back again. Now, in doing this, you are very cumbered and you are very busy preparing what you think is essential and necessary for the company that you're going to have and for the work that you have to do. Let me ask you a question. Don't you ever get irritated? Don't you ever get angry inside because you have so much work to do? Who's put it on you? Yourself, right? You want to be that way. You're not satisfied just to give the ordinary things, but now you've got to put on a little dog, we'll say in English. You got to go a little too far. So this is what Martha did too. And now when you're doing this, if you are a real Martha, you will agree with me that you don't have any time. For what? You don't have any time for prayer. You don't have any time to sit at the feet of Jesus. You don't have any time to read His Word. And you may carry it that far, you don't even have any time to come up to the house of God. And now you may be so busy, and you may be married, and your husband comes home, and you have so many things to do, that you say to your husband, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Suppose he refuses to do it. Doesn't it end in an argument, a disagreement? How many families have trouble in this respect, even busy families? Suppose now you had twins. How much more work you would have to do. And now, if you stop the reason, and you said in your mind, if I let this go, and if I let that go, why, sure, I don't have to be doing these things. It's all me that's doing it. You would be in the right place. You would have some time, maybe, to go alone on your knees and seek God, especially if the child was sleeping for a little while. That is, if you had any desire to do so, if you had any life in your soul. But you know the fears and the anxieties of the family, you know, they cumber a person so much that that person hasn't any time for God. This was what was taking place with Martha. Let me add a little to it, my hearers. We're speaking to the Marthas, but there are men likewise that are listening to me. How many men are cumbered with the cares of this life? How many men? They're cumbered with their employment. They're busy. How are they going to make a livelihood for their family? They're busy thinking how they could add a few more dollars to their income so that they could provide a little better for their family. And then again, there are some men not satisfied with one position. They can't seem to get along on the labor and the income that they have from this position, and they have to take another job besides this. So they're working from early morning to late at night. And they are cumbered with the cares and the anxieties of their family to provide for them and to see that everyone is fed and nourished. And for this particular man, he don't have too much time for God, for prayer, for reading the Bible. He doesn't have any time at all, to be honest with you. How do I know this? Why, I had the very same experience, my dear. I know what I'm talking about. And I may believe I had grace. How far I was carried away from God in this respect. But God opened my eyes and gave me to see it. And I began to pray to Him that He would heal me, that He would bring me back to Himself. And He did. Thanks be to Him. But this is natural. So this is the natural life of a person cumbered with the cares of this world. Martha was cumbered with much serving. And as she was going back and forth, she looked at Mary. Instead of now commending Mary and saying, Mary, you're in a good place there. Stay there. Or you couldn't be in a better place at the feet of Christ. No, she became angry. She became irritated. She says in herself, I got to do all this work alone? Ain't she going to get up and help me? And this is what she was thinking about. You ever had that? You ever get irritated? You ever start thinking, well, you were the only one that was doing something and nobody else was doing anything? That's the way it was with Martha. And she began to think, well, surely the Lord knows that I'm busy doing this. He's Lord of everything. He knows that I'm doing all the work here. Why don't he speak to her? She was even irritated with the Lord that he didn't even speak to Mary about it. And now she couldn't contain herself any longer. So she says, Lord, but dost thou not care that my sister let me serve alone? Bid her arise and help me. Now you notice she didn't go to Mary with it. She should have went to Mary and said, Mary, won't you please help me? I'm so busy trying to get the meal together. No. She went past Mary and she went right to the Lord. And now she thought that she was right, that she was just in doing this. And she felt sure the Lord would take up her side. Now notice in this, my hearers, that God may bring many trials and many cares upon us in this life. And if you are a child of God, you will experience them in this life. And now these trials and these cares that God lays upon us, we may bring to him. Cast all your care upon him, the apostle said. For he cares for you. But you know, we make many cares and many trials ourselves, just like Martha. She's done this herself. And now we can't come to God with those kind of trials and those kind of cares, and we won't find an ear for that. She came to the Lord. She wanted the Lord to justify her in what she was doing. Now, she was doing good work. Don't get me wrong. But she was carrying it much too far. If she had just prepared an ordinary meal, one dish, it would have been sufficient. But no, she had to go out and put everything on the table that she had. And, of course, that caused a lot of work. And therefore, and she's very irritated, and therefore she speaks to the Lord so that the Lord would justify her and that he would bid Mary to arise and help her. My hearers, you never can come to God with your unjustifiable quarrels that you have amongst each other. Never. What God lays upon you, you can bring to him. But what you do and what you cause to be done to you, them are things that you cannot get to God with. And now the Lord, he knew what Martha was doing. He read right through her. She was cumbered and concerned with many things in the house. Now she's a type of so many that I have just been dwelling upon, especially women, especially men. But now there are young people likewise. Oh, youth is a time of vanity. Youth is a time that we seek our pleasures in the world. And you know, if you have parents and you are still home, some of you that are listening to me are your parents, and they may speak to you. You may come home too late. They may warn you and admonish you in love to be home a little earlier. They may hear of things that you are doing and where you are going to that they will speak to you about in love. They ought to do that. They have promised God that they would do this. And when they do this, I'm taking now not every youth, but many of them, and they become irritated. They become angry. And they rise up in rebellion against their parents. And they say sometimes, you're too narrow-minded. You're too religious. You're too old-fashioned. And as the parents carry it through, sometimes some youth, they leave house. They don't want to remain home. They want to live the way they want to. So they leave and forsake everything. Now, this happens in life, my hearers. A parent is duty-bound to warn and admonish his child and to bring it up in the nature and in the fear of God. And what a blessing that we have children that will listen to us, that will adhere to what we bring before them, and who may realize that we mean their good, that out of love we are doing this, and not as they think, because they become angry, and because they become irritated, and they want to leave everything. Oh, if I have any such youth listening to me, and may you give ear to your parents, may you listen to them. They have the good of your soul in mind. Now, they can't save you, but they do everything possible to bring you to the place where God may come and meet with you. Now, these children, they likewise are cumbered over the cares and the anxieties of pleasing the flesh, of getting as much out of life as they possibly can, and they have no desire for God. They no need for prayer, no longing even for the house of God. But now, let me carry this a little further. We have here now Martha, a child of God, speaking against another child of God. Does that happen? Oh, yes, my dear. Especially if one child lives very close to God, enjoys much of God's presence. God shines down upon it, and it may speak and tell of the wonders of its grace that it's been bestowed upon. And another child of God, he's living in such a cold, such a hard, and such a barren frame, living so far from God, that they become envious. Sometimes they even speak against those lambs and those sheep that are living so close. They, like Martha, sometimes even go to the Lord and bring the matter to the Lord against one of their fellow children. This is what Martha did. But did the Lord justify her? Did he take up her case? Did he side with her? Now let's listen to this. Suppose now that was me and you. We've been invited to somebody's home. And while we're there, there's a woman who's so busy preparing a meal for us, getting everything ready. And she's busy doing this and doing that. And somebody says to her, just like the Lord, he rebuked her, says to her, well, you shouldn't put on the dog. You shouldn't bring out everything like that. One dish is sufficient. Now, would we be like Christ? Christ rebuked Martha for what she was doing. But I think we would actually have part of a hypocrite. Or we would take the part of the woman that's trying to serve us and trying to put on a good, splendid meal for us. We'd side with her. But the Lord, he did not side with Martha. No, he spake unto her. And he said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled and careful about many things, but one thing is needful. He spake to her in earnest insincerity. He spake to her twice. He called her name, Martha, Martha. My hearers, if you are like I've been talking about, cumbered with the cares of this life, concerned about how you're going to eat and how you're going to drink and how you're going to get ahead in the world, but there isn't anybody that can stop you. It's only the voice of the Lord that can change your course. He spoke to Martha, Martha, Martha. If he should speak to any one of you, there will be a definite change in your life. The cares, the concerns of this world will vanish away. And you will become so anxious about your immortal soul. There'll be such a change in you because the Lord has stopped you. He spoke to you. He brings every one of his children away from these things. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. How many masses have I listened to me that are careful and troubled about many things? Aren't you? Aren't you busy every day with your household duties? Busy from morning to night? And now what are you doing when you do this? You forget the Lord? You haven't done any time for Him? You don't need to seek Him? You see, Martha, if she had been like Mary, she would have laid everything down. She would have went and sat alongside of Mary. Or she would have been desirous to hear what He had to say. Desirous to know that she had an interest in that salvation for which He came into this world. And this would be your case if the Lord stops you in the midst of all your anxieties and cares and troubles of this life. And then that one thing needful, my hearers, will be the most important thing in your life. He stopped her, He rebuked her publicly right in the midst of all the disciples, and especially before Mary and Lazarus. Martha, Martha! Oh, I wish that God would speak to some of the Marthas that listen to me, who are so careful and so concerned and so troubled about many things, but not about the Lord, not about their souls, not about their salvation. And they have no thoughts or no concerns about that. And now the Lord Jesus says, one thing is needful. My hearers, what was that thing that's needful? That's needful to you and I. May I ask you, what is the most needful thing for you and I? Salvation. We need to be reconciled with God. We need to find peace with Him, and that through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. We need a Savior for our immortal souls. We need to be brought by His Spirit like Mary at His feet. Oh, my hearers, and when we are brought there, we are so humbled. Oh, we are so concerned about what He shall say to us. And if we may hear His voice, how sweet it is, how wonderful it is. But one thing is needful, and that is to be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. May I ask you, what is the thing that is most needful for you? And what is the thing that you are most concerned about? Have I discovered something of your life? Have I pointed out to you what your concerns are and your cares are and your anxieties and your troubles? Must you say, this one thing needful that you're speaking about, I have no need for? A true need. You may know it mentally, and you may say yea and amen to it when you hear it, but have you a true need? Does this one thing needful lead you away from your work? Does it lead you into your inner chamber? Does it bring you on your knees? Are you so concerned about being saved? Or are you unconcerned? Doesn't bother you. You live like one that's dead. One thing is needful, my hearers. Oh, this one thing needful is brought home to your immortal soul. You won't have any rest anymore. You'll find time during the day, use Martha to go alone. Or you'll make time. You'll set this aside and that aside. You'll say, oh, I've got to seek the Lord. I've got to get on my knees. I'm such a poor, wretched sinner. I'm such a creature that's going to hell if I'm not saved. And therefore, you'll be led to seek Him. Oh, I wish there were many such amongst that are listening to me, honestly. I can't make you feel it's one thing needful, but God can. And I'm sure if that takes place in your life, that'll be uppermost. Not at all times, my hearers. Oh, no. And there'll be times you'll be just like Martha. Ah, she was covered with much serving. How sad it is that the children of God get into this state. Ah, they're so busy with this thing, time, strength, so occupied with whatever they have to do. So many women are busy all day long with their houses. They got to keep them clean. They got to have nice. They're busy with their children. No time for God. The men, If they're not working, they got a hobby, they got their yards to take care of, they got a car, they got things they have to do. But this one thing needs to, they haven't got any time for. Isn't it true? Or is it different with you? If it is, it's by the grace of God, then it's not of you. And now the Lord he said unto Martha, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now Mary was a chosen vessel of mercy. And she, by the grace of God, had made that good choice. But she chose rather to sit at the feet of Christ. Just like Moses, he chose rather to be the leader of the people of Israel than to remain in the house of Pharaoh, than to have all the riches of Egypt. He suffered rather to be what he became by the grace of God than to remain in Pharaoh's court. And now this woman, she likewise had made this choice. Because God had chosen her. Now this was a proof of her election, a proof of that the Lord loved her, a proof of that she was seeking salvation from him. Now this woman, if she had, like Ruth, made a good choice. How many Marthas have I amongst me that are envious of some other person who has been given to make this choice? Are there any Marys listening to me? Oh, I wish that every woman listening to me was a Mary, honestly. Or you couldn't be in a better place than to be at the feet of Christ, to look up unto him, to be taught from him, to be in instructed by him, to be guided by him, to be comforted by him, to be encouraged and to be led by him through this world he belongs. Oh, what a blessed posture it is to be at the feet of Christ. And now it pleases God to bring everyone whom he has chosen from all eternity to make this choice just like Mary. And they all come to the feet of Christ. They come weeping, supplicating, crying for mercy, crying for the forgiveness of their sins. You find them inside in a room with the door shut. You find them sometimes coming up to the house of God, praying that they may meet with him. And when they do meet with him, they are again at his feet. It doesn't make where we may be, even the public assembly. If the Lord meets with us and speaks with us, in and through the means of grace that we are attending to, and then we are at the feet of Christ immediately. Oh, that's such a blessed place to be, my hearers. But oh, there's so much that goes before we are brought to the feet of Christ. Oh, my hearers, we are something like Martha mostly. And we are so troubled and so concerned about earthly matters that we don't have any time for Christ. We don't have any time for prayer. We don't have any time for the Bible. We can put these things back. And how sad it is that you may be busy all day with natural things, and then you think, well, in the evening now I'll take a book and I'll read. But then when you begin to read, you find that you're so sleepy and so tired that it doesn't even interest you. You spend the best part of the day, the best part of your strength in what? In the things of time and sense. No time for God. Oh, could I entreat everyone that's listening to me to set a time apart? Think of your immortal soul. I'm thinking about him. I'm worried about him. Believe me, I wish that God would come into the hearts of everyone of us and bring us to his feet. I can't make you concerned, no. But the Lord can. All may you be given to set a little time apart. You may say, well, I don't have any desire to do so. I'm just a natural person. I don't have any life in me. And I don't have anything like that, what you're talking about, that I want to go alone, that I want to get on my knees. What am I going to do there? Go there and kneel down and say, Lord, here I am. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what to say to thee, but teach me, Lord. I'm a poor sinner. I need to be saved. That's all you have to say. You never know what God might do to you. Oh, and if you should be there and he should meet with you, you will find it one of the blessed spots that you've ever been in this life. And you will go again and again to be at his feet. And therefore, Mary, she chose that good path. And if you be given to make this choice, then in this life you will be found at his feet again and again, with all your cares, with all your troubles, with all your anxieties, with all your fears, you will have somebody to confide in. Somebody that's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Oh, I can recommend him to every one of you, my husband. And may you seek him yet while he is to be found. And may you be given to find him. For whoso findeth him, findeth a treasure that shall never be taken away. Mary, she had chosen that good part that would never be taken away. And if you have that good part in you, it may seem at times that it's gone, that it's never there anymore. But you will find the Lord will bring you again back to his most merciful feet. And he will never leave you. He will never forsake the work of his hands. Oh, may God bless the feeble lesson this afternoon to you in modest tones. That's all for today.